Johnny Barnes, talk about Thursday's teach-in, Statehood for D.C., outside the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol, all-day affair from noon to 9 p.m.
Yes, it's our Hoodstock, play on Woodstock. We intend to have presentations and music and words aimed not only at Capitol Hill staff people, so they can learn about Washington, D.C., who we are, that we are, and more about our community, but also aimed at the general public, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. There's education that's needed. And so we're going to have an event in several parts designed to help people understand Washington, D.C., and why statehood is important to the future of the District of Columbia and to America.
Explain the difference between statehood and voting rights. Is this one of the things that will be talked about, I imagine, on Thursday?
Yes. Statehood is permanent. It cannot be taken away. It puts the people of Washington, D.C., 600,000 strong in number, a number greater than one state and close to the size of nine other states. It puts us on equal footing with everybody else so that we're not different. When we go to Afghanistan like everybody else does, our young women and young men go to Afghanistan, and we spend bitter cold nights in the hills of Afghanistan with only our M16 rifles as company often. And then we come back to America and we're different, you know. Our blood is the same in Afghanistan, but it's different in Washington, D.C. When we go and spend times on the hot sands of Iraq, where the IEDs can snuff a life out or take a limb off, our men and women go like everybody else, and we're no different in our sacrifice. But then when we come back to America in the shadow of the Washington Monument, that equality that we experienced in defense of America changes into an inequality that's unlike any place else in the world. No place else in the world do countries treat the citizens of their capital city the way we're treated in Washington, D.C. We're different.
This teach-in comes at an interesting time politically for D.C. You've seen a wave of people getting arrested, including a former highest elected official, Sharon Pratt Kelly, as well as Vincent Gray, the sitting mayor, as well as a half dozen, I think it was, members of the D.C. Council, all go to jail over this issue. You had some moving words just outside the courthouse, standing beside the former mayor, Sharon Pratt Kelly.
There are nicer ways to do things, but all the nice ways have failed. You told us once, you told us twice. Thank you for that advice. But that's freedom's price.
Yes. Yes.
Because these 41 or 51 good Americans are following the path of Rosa Parks.
That's right. That's
They're
right.
sick and tired of being sick and tired.
That's right.
They hear the words of Gandhi. If they answer not your song, walk alone.
Yes.
Walk alone. They followed the moral compass of Dr. King. When someone told him, wait, he said, wait. We can't wait. We won't wait. The arc of justice bends toward truth.
Yes.
And today in courtroom 115, you will hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because the question of our participation in voting rights, it's not about rights, it's about wrongs.
That's right.
It's wrong for every country in the world to provide representation for their citizens,
yes, sir.
Except America. We
yeah,
seek
right.
to
yes.
extend the perimeters of democracy around the world, but it comes to a screeching halt right here.
Well, we pretend to do that. We pretend to.
Absolutely, in the shadow of the Washington Monument.
All right, yes, sir.
This is our Libya. This is our Syria.
Yes, sir.
This is our Egypt. And Speaker Boehner is our Bin Laden.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, yes.
And so We're here to support the 41 of 51 because they know that it isn't nice to block the doorways. It isn't nice to go to jail. There are nicer ways to do things, but all the nicer ways have failed. And I'd like to introduce our former mayor, Sharon Dixon.
Come on up here.
Come on, Sharon.
All right.
Mayor Pratt.
Well, we know why we're here today. And we'll probably have to return here and many places across the city in order to really gather the forces. So it is it's unmistakably clear that there's a collective will, determination, and resolve by the people of the District of Columbia that this arrangement is unacceptable, that we will not anymore operate under the thumb of the United States Congress, as Tunisia has sought freedom, as Egypt has sought freedom, as Libyans are seeking freedom, so shall we.
Yes. So this is a very interesting moment in which to engage this issue, which we're seeing. I don't know, you know, compare this to like Wisconsin, where you have the governor there, Scott Walker, cracking down on protesters. Here, our elected officials are becoming protesters over precisely this issue.
That's an astute observation, Pete. I tell you that on April 11th of 2011, I believe history will record that a movement was launched that will not be stopped, that the arrest of Mayor Gray in the D.C. 51 or 41 unleashed a power and a fury that will no longer be contained. I predict that many more will be arrested, many more will go to jail, many more will protest because folks are just at wit's end and at their limit in terms of continued denial of the basic right of citizenship, and that's to fully participate under the laws in which we are governed. And so as we see democracy trying to spring up around the world, we now see it springing up in Washington, D.C. This is our Libya. This is our Syria. This is our Egypt. It's no different. What they want there is no different than what we want here. And America seeks to extend the perimeters of democracy around the world. Those are Ronald Reagan's words. But they come to a screeching halt right here on the front lawn of the White House. And the people just won't tolerate it anymore. They simply will not.
Vince Gray and others were elected just outside the U.S. Capitol. You're holding this teach-in just alongside the U.S. Capitol. What's the significance of this location?
Well, our fate lies in the hands of those 535 people who go to work in the Capitol building on the House side and on the Senate side. They can make a judgment that can remove the stain on America's democracy, that can eliminate the blight on the United States when it tries to promote our way of life to other people, that can seal the crack in the Liberty Bell through which 600,000 Americans have fallen for no reason other than the press of government and creating a new country back in 1800. So the significance is that Congress has to make the decision, and we intend over the next several months and few years, if it takes that long, to press Congress to allow us finally into the union of states. So there's a star for every state and a state for every star. We want our star. And we do it, Pete, in music and words, because if you really think about it, every progressive movement, every movement towards change has involved music, whether it's the Battle Hymn of the Republic or All We Are Saying is Give Peace a Chance. Every movement has had music, and so we're delighted to have Chuck Brown, who will present at this event, as well as some local young, very good artists. And then we'll have the usual advocates for D.C. statehood who will present in words.
Including Eleanor Holmes Norton?
It's at her back door. I suspect she'll show up. If she doesn't, that's a statement. But she has introduced the D.C. statehood bill, and we thank her for that. And we're going to use that as a basis to collect co-sponsors and to demonstrate to Congress that we want something that's final, that's permanent, that gives us real equality, true justice, that allows us to decide our own fate, gets Congress out of our lives so that they can't interfere and intervene as they do every day and tell us how to live and tell us how to die. We want to decide our own fate like any other Americans. And this teach-in is in furtherance of that movement, which began on April 11, 2011, and will not stop. We want to explain to the congressional staffers why our mayor was arrested and why his arrest needs to be vindicated by inclusion. And we want to explain to the public at large, 80% of whom support us, the polls show, that people live in Washington, D.C., that it's not just monuments and government buildings. It's people, it's Americans, it's taxpayers, it's soldiers who go off to war, it's garbage men, it's lawyers, it's doctors, just like any place else. We want to be the same. It's a simple request, and it requires a simple solution, a majority vote in the House and Senate and signature of the president.
Earlier I mentioned that the highest elected official in D.C., the mayor, both the current and a former one, have gone to jail. Can you explain why that's the highest elected position in the District of Columbia and the position of Eleanor Holmes Norton? She's not a full voting member of the House of Representatives like every other jurisdiction has.
Happy to do that. Eleanor Holmes Norton is a non-voting delegate to Congress. She cannot vote on the floor of the House, so that when great decisions of the day are made about tax policy, about war policy, about voting on the budget so that we can keep the government open and working and get our garbage picked up. When those decisions are made, we have no voice and no vote in those critical decisions. And then there's a total absence of a presence. In addition to the cloistered presence in the House of Representatives for us, there's a total absence of a presence in the Senate. So when Justice Sotomayor was confirmed, we were not involved in that. When we enter into treaties with foreign governments, we have nothing to say about that. When other cabinet officials are confirmed, we're not involved. And it takes both houses to make law. So we're not involved in the most important process in America, and that is the shaping of laws under which all of us are governed. And so we hope to change that. Now, Mayor Gray functions under a Home Rule Act that is delegated by Congress, and Congress can take that away. Congress can has the ultimate decision-making on laws that we make. Congress has the last word on the money that we spend, our own money. It's like we're children. Congress has the power to decide how we spend our own money. And so this teach-in is designed to let people know about this status, let people understand it, and hopefully charge people in a way that they'll do something about it in the very near future. And I'm hopeful that Democrats and Republicans will come to see that you can't treat a group of Americans the way we're treated in Washington. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us, Pete. It really did. And this teach-in is designed to help in the process of understanding and changing that situation.
When Mayor Gray spoke throughout the city, as he speaks throughout the city and just after his primary election, all eight wards, he talked about statehood. He talked about the possibility of him going to jail, which has now happened. And he mentioned Frederick Douglass, power concedes nothing without a demand. And after his arrest, reporters said, well, do you think that was going to all of a sudden change? He said, no, not at all. That's not the way change happens. But if we don't, all of us step up, each of us do our part, then it's not going to happen. And so I guess my final question to you, Johnny Barnes, is what role do you see for district residents? I imagine that the message may get sent a lot clearer to congressional staffers if folks turn out and learn about the issue, as well as explain, for those who are very familiar with the issue, explain to Congress members exactly who we are here in the District of Columbia and what's at stake.
That's right, Pete. Absolutely. I borrow from the rhetoric of the 60s. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And everybody in Washington, D.C. needs to be part of this solution, whether it's going to jail, whether it's marching, whether it's merely asking your cousin in some other state to write their congressman or senator to tell them to do the right thing by us. Everybody needs to be the person in the mirror and look at oneself and say, what am I doing to promote D.C. statehood? What have I done today and what will I do tomorrow? And I tell you, if you to the trained eye, one knows that what Mayor Gray and the D.C. 41 and others who have been arrested since did has had an impact, because Congressman Issa, who currently runs Washington, D.C. from the Hill,
who's from California,
he would not have said, well, we need to look at the continuing resolution and the whole budget process, and maybe we need to take D.C. out of that. Maybe we don't need to throw them in with the other federal agencies because it hurts them. You know, he would not have said that if his conscience had not been pricked and his understanding of Washington, D.C. had not been underscored by virtue of those arrests. So they're gaining local media, national media, and international media attention, and they're making a difference. And if we keep driving the nail, if everybody in Washington, D.C. is a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem, then Congress will wake up and pay attention. Pete, I've seen it so many times in my lifetime, how victory can be grabbed from the arms of defeat, how those who are doubters and naysayers about D.C. statehood will be proven wrong in the long run, because this is a basic, fundamental, it's bread and butter. It's, apple pie and baseball. There's nothing more fundamental. The founding fathers fought a war and died and sacrificed and shed blood to end the tyranny of taxation without representation. And when we need to end it for the remaining, for the last colony, for the remaining Americans who are not yet, who have slipped through that crack in the Liberty Bell. And that's what the TTN seeks to do, to keep this momentum going, to educate people, because the first stage of any change is a change in attitude, a change in the mind. So it's education and a little entertainment at the same time that also delivers the message, because nothing has happened in America over the years without music.
I look forward to being there, Johnny Barnes.
Good. We look forward to entertaining you, Mr. Tucker.